seeing people die, seeing people get shot, seeing people get stabbed, seeing pregnant women smoke crap, that's my reality.
What particularly we've seen with County Lines is a high level of violence.
You walk around and you see crackheads everywhere, you see drug dealers.
Heroin, crack, cocaine.
You see people carrying knives and stuff like that.
Christ, stay where you are!
I'm Jason Farrell. Welcome to this Line 18 podcast from Sky News, part of our series looking at issues up and down the country in 2018. Drug smuggling networks are expanding across the UK from cities into rural areas. It's called County Lines, and the leading expert on this issue has told us that this industry is now worth £3 million a day. It's brought with it a wave of violence involving children. Now, a lot's been talked about this issue, but we're going to take you right into the heart of the operation. And we're going to start in what's called a trap house here in North London. It's where drugs are prepared, sold, and used. At this so-called trap house, there was one man taking crack cocaine in front of us. There were two dealers, and they had various drugs strewn across the table, as well as rolls of cash and a Rambo knife just left casually there. We've changed the voice of the dealers who we spoke to.
So just tell me a little bit about how much you deal, what kind of things you sell, that sort of thing.
Everything, like a pharmacy. You can get crack, you can get coke, you can get weed, anything you want. As long as there's a demand, there will always be a supply.
And is there a good demand?
Yeah, always, anywhere, everywhere.
The customer taking drugs on the bed as we spoke was Mark Page.
What's been the impact on your life, though?
Money.
Yeah, cost.
Cost, yeah. Once you start smoking, can't stop, and so your money's gone.
Yeah. So it's just... Yeah, all your money goes towards it, then?
Yeah.
All your spare money?
Yeah, yeah. Put all my money in, right?
Yeah.
Once I start, once I stop.
So do you mostly sell in the area?
In the area, most of it is outside of London.
Right. And how does that work? As much as you can tell me, how does that work?
Well, I will go up there, me and my buddy over here.
Yeah.
And you'll find one crackhead. I'll give them some rocks for some numbers.
For their users?
Yes.
I see. Friends. So that's just you're building up your contact list in that area.
Yeah.
So you'll go on a little day trip somewhere, say right, find a crackhead, get help.
Once the area is established, and I know that you know I'm making a nice amount, I will go out, leave the area, and I'll get kids to go up there for me.
And how much do you pay them?
Pay them like $300 a week.
So what sort of age?
From anywhere from like 12. Like 15, 16.
How do you find these kids?
They need money. Mommy and daddy ain't got no money. So who do they come to? They come to uncle. Uncle will send them out there, let them have a week, 2 weeks in boot camp, let them do what they have to do. They'll be happy with that money they get.
What's boot camp?
Boot camp. Outside of London.
Yeah.
Train them up.
So you go with them once.
Introduce them
to everybody.
I'll go up them once, show them how it works. You know, once they get the hang of it, I'll just let them be.
Children's Commissioner Anne Longfield says children are being exploited.
The kids that I meet who are the ones that are what they were called the collateral, you know, the ones that are doing the operational stuff on the ground, being groomed, these are often small, vulnerable children who look quite meek, don't have much confidence, aren't really able to carry a conversation with you, don't want to look you in the eye. Most kids, basically, within that, are scared stiff.
Later, I met up with a 16-year-old girl, Sarah, whose voice we've disguised.
My mum's a ex-heroin addict. My dad's a gambler. My older brothers are all in prison. Me and my little brother become unstable living at home. I got put into a care home. I got involved with the wrong people. Met some wrong older guys. They would get me to join drug running.
And what did that involve?
Going missing for the whole night, which a lot of people in care do go missing because often they're drug running, earning money.
And you're being asked to do what exactly?
Sell drugs. Sell heroin, crack, cocaine, everything.
And did you ever have any trouble with any other groups of people who wanted to sell drugs to the same area or anything like that?
One of the dealers actually stabbed me. Because I got robbed.
So hang on, you got robbed And you went back and you said, I haven't got the drugs, so he stabbed you. What, to punish you?
Yeah.
Part of the grooming of the child who's involved in running those drugs is that they, on their first outing with their phone line, which is the county line, and actually the drugs they're distributing, they will be systematically robbed by other members of the gangs they don't know, that they will be punished and scorned for being stupid enough to let that happen, and then they'll be let back in by saying, well, it's your first time out, we'll give you another chance, but now you owe us.
It turns out it's not just children who are ferrying these drugs for the gangs. We're off to meet a woman in her 40s who is running a line to Southend. We've been told to go to Liverpool Street and that she'll be carrying two Topshop bags.
I got involved because my son was going around with some friends. They were involved in drugs and all sorts of things, and they got him involved as well. He asked me if I could help him, so I've been helping him ever since.
And what sort of things does he ask you to do?
I take the stuff, I deliver it, I give it to them, and I leave. I don't even talk to them because I'm scared of them. They're bad people, they're not nice people. Every time I do it, I'm very scared. Because every time you do it, you think, you know, I'm going to get caught.
I mean, you don't look like a drug addict. You're not.
So well, I'm not. It's not me.
Yeah. Not part of the system.
Yeah.
And how does that feel?
Not very nice. Not nice at all. It's dangerous. You can't go to the police because they'll most probably kill us if we do.
Tony Saggers is the former National Crime Agency lead on County Lines.
Yeah, what County Lines has become is the expansion of London in all respects, in terms of the violence and knife crime, the young people that are involved. Because you're expanding a workforce and you're expanding the geography of your operation, you need more people involved. You can no longer run around a London borough with six people dealing drugs if you're then also covering six counties and a dozen towns. And that's where the young people come in.
I've lived in Southend my whole life.
Okay, what's it like?
It's turned into such a trampy kind of place. It's not somewhere you want to live in. You walk around and you see crackheads everywhere, you see drug dealers and you see people carrying knives and stuff like that. It's a horrible place to be in. You see quite a few young girls mainly as well being recruited to either drop off drugs or to bring drugs to people.
If they're trying to recruit you, what sort of things do they do?
Even if like you're not looking for it, if you're trying to avoid it, you can just walk down the street and just turn around the corner and a group of people will just approach you and then they'll just say, are you from around? They just ask you loads of questions. They'll be like, even people not from around here, like I've had people who've got off the train from like London and just come up to me and they said, do you want to make money with me? Come work with me. Like, yeah. I'll give you this, I'll give you that.
But it's really enticing to become a drug dealer at points because you're wearing all that fancy clothes and you have all that money.
There are kids nowadays that will walk around the town centre with a bag of drugs and a knife and a knuckle duster, and they'll think it's appropriate. And these kids are like 12, 13 years of age.
Do you carry a weapon then?
It depends. At times, if I'm walking home late or I'm out late, I will carry something with me.
There have been times where I felt like I've had to because I've had certain problems with people about and just certain threats, and like I've just felt like for the safety of me, like I'm not going to look to use it. But if I'm in a situation where my life's threatened, like yeah, I will use one. In a place like this, like trouble seems to find just anyone and everyone.
While we were recording, just nearby, there was a scuffle and police were forced to separate two youths.
Get off my wrist before I hurt you.
We caught up with one of them afterwards.
This is a joke. I'm the victim in all this. I'm the victim. I'm the one who gets stabbed in my head. Bro.
So what just happened there?
They just think, obviously, they're just 14-year-old boys. They call themselves 12 Block. They just think they're serious, but they're really not. Obviously, the police, because obviously where I got stabbed in my head last Monday, they just think they're serious, innit?
Tell me what happened when you got stabbed. This is quite recently.
Last Monday, I was standing outside the bottom of my boys' block with a few of my pals. Next minute, you know, some 26-year-old man come up behind me and stabbed me in the head with a cutthroat razor blade. Stabbed me in my head. It's 6 centimetres long, 3 centimetres into my head. Once in my finger, once in my shoulder, armpit, arm, back.
Why did you stab me?
Because some boy owed me £20, so I took my £20 off him, what you would do. And then it was his runner. Like, so this kid who I got my money off, he was selling drugs for this older person. And then he was giving me threats all the time, and then next minute, you know,
so you took £20 off his runner?
Yeah, what he owed me anyway, so it was my money.
Right, and his runner told him, and then he came to stab you?
Yeah.
To protect his runner?
Nah, just to show principle, just to show Southend. Everyone gets stabbed in Southend, bro.
And police agree this system of dealing is making areas outside of London more dangerous.
If your reputation is, I will stab people if they let me down, if you don't stab the first person that lets you down, where do you go from there? What County Lions has done is put these young people out on their own, conducting tasks for these very ruthless people that are sitting in the trap houses organising all of this.
It's something even the dealers admit.
Do you find when you get there you've got any problems with other dealers who want to hit in on your...
Yeah, there's always problems with other dealers, always.
And what happens? What happens then?
You've got to sort out your problem. You give it to the kids, the dumb kids that go up there, give them a little weapon, they'll do it. Get them happy, tell them you give them extra money.
Yeah.
Go do it and job's done. Anyone can get it, yeah? Anyone can get it. Doesn't matter who you are. If you come and violate and step on my toes,
yeah,
and you're f***ing up my business, you get shanked up, you get shot. You get shot in your face, you get stabbed in the neck, whatever. Doesn't matter who you are. If you're a little boy, if you're a grown man, anyone can get it. If you step on my toes,
yeah.
I often find myself thinking about what is the difference between child soldiers in Central Africa being desensitised by being forced to watch killings, sometimes with their own families, and what's happening in parts of County Lines at the moment. And I think there's very little difference in the two. This is about desensitising the use of a knife to plunge it into someone else and kill them if you need to. We need to understand what drives a 15-year-old to even be able to plunge a knife into the body of someone else in 21st century Britain.
This is my reality. You know, seeing people die, seeing people get shot, seeing people get stabbed, seeing pregnant women smoke crap, that's my reality.
Yeah.
Normal. This is just normal to me. Don't affect me. It's nothing. If they're coming to get me, they better kill me. But if they don't kill me, I'm coming back to kill them.
Well, it's 4 a.m. and we're out with Essex Police. This is going to be their biggest ever County Lines drug raid.
Today is the accumulation of 21 warrants with significant arrests for conspiracy and also possession of controlled substances in the local district of Epping Forest.
These guys, though, are not just dealing in this area, are they?
They're not. They're going far and wide. We've had interactions with colleagues in Crewe, Norwich, throughout the United Kingdom.
Officers search one home and find a stash of Class A drugs, as well as several thousand pounds in cash and, crucially, a mobile phone.
They've got thousands of pounds worth of cash that was hidden in the top of this cupboard here, and there are stacks of these wads of cash in every room.
If you was a betting man and there were all hundreds, a few grand.
A number of the individuals that we're arresting this morning habitually carry knives. They have been arrested and previously stopped with knives, and some have got previous arrests for both attempted murder and murder. He's been trying to discard his phone. The officers were quick enough to get to him. We found the phone, we found the associated battery for that. It's likely that will now be our drug-lined phone that's key to this particular individual.
So this basically is the County Line drug phone?
That is the County Line drug phone.
There were 24 arrests and five gangs were shut down.
We know that there are about 1,500 County Lines active in the UK.
Vince O'Brien leads the National Crime Agency's drive against County Lines.
We've gone from a position where only a very small number of police force in the UK were identifying County Lines to a position now where we think that there are County Lines operating either to or from every single force area. The Home Office has funded a new County Lines Coordination Centre where the NCA is working with police forces to coordinate the national efforts to respond to it, to build a better intelligence picture and to understand how we can respond most effectively.
So why do children get into this? I put that to the Children's Commissioner.
Well, I think there's two things here. If you ask kids that are involved, what would have stopped them? You know, what about a job? They say, well, what job could I get that would give me the kind of career prospects and the, you know, financial rewards that I can get here, and also the feeling of belonging and being part of something. At the same time, the gangs exploit that. They will say, look, you're never going to get a job now, especially if they've had some problems with the law. You might as well stay with us.
What would you like?
To stop this from happening, like, yeah. To stop it from rising.
Yeah.
The best way, in my opinion, is to target the little kids while they're young.
Yeah.
You know, that's the best way, because when they're young, their minds are vulnerable.
They start off really young and they get older and older, and they have to carry on doing it because it's the only thing they know what to do.
I don't know where this is going to stop, how it's going to stop, and if it's going to stop.
Well, thanks for listening to this Line 18 podcast from Sky News. There's more in this series, including how people with learning disabilities are being trapped in care. Just search Sky News Special Reports wherever you get your podcasts.